Let's sing a song again.
Sing a song? What song?
Remember how we sang a song the other day? That was fun.
What song?
I don't know. Do you know an Easter song?
Happy Easter to you.
That's so pretty.
Happy Easter to you. Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter to you. Vibrato.
That's what that's called.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what that's called.
Happy Easter, everyone, and welcome back to Chip and Eric Read Through the Bible with Allison, who's one of our friends. That's the name of the podcast. Yeah. We have peeps with us.
Yeah, we do have peeps.
Not like people, not like short for people.
Nope.
We just have peeps.
Little squishy marshmallow peeps.
From the Mileses.
Which we love.
Yeah. Do you mean the peeps or the Mileses?
Both. We love both of them.
Yeah. I love the Mileses more than the peeps.
Me too.
Whatever.
Me too. Me too. Today, speaking of peeps, did we do that yesterday? Did we say speaking of peeps? Speaking of peeps, today's day 83, right?
Threeps.
83-ps. And we're reading Joshua 11 through 13.
Teeps.
And 1 Peter 4. Ps. I was wondering where you're going to go with it. Forps.
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 Forps. I'm done with these northern armies.
Yeah, let's get rid of them.
Well, this is convenient. Joshua chapter 11. Israel defeats the northern armies. When King Jabin of Hazor heard what had happened, he sent messages to the following kings: King Jobab of Madon, the king of Shimron, the king of Akshath, and all the kings of the northern hill country, the kings in the Jordan Valley south of Galilee, the kings in the Galilean foothills, the kings of Naphoth Dor on the west, the kings of Canaan, both east and west, the kings of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites in the hill country, and the Hivites in the towns on the slopes of Mount Hermon in the land of Mizpah. All these kings came out to fight. Their combined armies formed a vast horde, and with all their horses and chariots, they covered the landscape like sand on the seashore. The kings joined forces and established their camp around the water near Merom to fight against Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Don't be afraid of them. By this time tomorrow, I will hand all of them over to Israel as dead men. Then you must cripple their horses and burn their chariots." So Joshua and all his fighting men traveled to the water near Merom and attacked suddenly, and the Lord gave them victory over their enemies. The Israelites chased them as far as Greater Sidon and Mizrephoth Maim, and eastward toward the valley of Mizpah, until not one enemy warrior was left alive. Then Joshua crippled the horses and burned all the chariots as the Lord had instructed. Joshua then turned back and captured Hazor and killed its king. Hazor had at one time been the capital of all these kingdoms. The Israelites completely destroyed every living thing in the city, leaving no survivors. Not a single person was spared. And then Joshua burned the city. Joshua slaughtered all the other kings and their people, completely destroying them, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But the Israelites did not burn any of the towns built on mounds except Hazor, which Joshua burned. And the Israelites took all the plunder and livestock of the ravaged towns for themselves. But they killed all the people, leaving no survivors. As the Lord had commanded his servant Moses, so Moses commanded Joshua. And Joshua did as he was told, carefully obeying all the commands the Lord had given to Moses. So Joshua conquered the entire region, the hill country, the entire Negev, the whole area around the town of Goshen, the western foothills, the Jordan Valley, the mountains of Israel, and the Galilean foothills. The Israelite territory now extended all the way from Mount Halak, which leads up to Seir in the south, as far north as Baal-Gad, at the foot of Mount Hermon in the valley of Lebanon. Joshua killed all the kings of those territories, waging war for a long time to accomplish this. No one in this region made peace with the Israelites except the Hivites of Gibeon. All the others were defeated, for the Lord hardened their hearts and caused them to fight the Israelites. So they were completely destroyed without mercy, as the Lord had commanded Moses. During this period, Joshua destroyed all the descendants of Anak, who lived in the hill country of Hebron, Debir, Anab, and the entire hill country of Judah and Israel. He killed them all and completely destroyed their towns. None of the descendants of Anak were left in all the land of Israel, though some remained in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. So Joshua took control of the entire land, just as the Lord had instructed Moses. He gave it to the people of Israel as their special possession, dividing the land among the tribes. So the land finally had rest from war.
Joshua chapter 12, kings defeated east of the Jordan. These are the kings east of the Jordan River who had been killed by the Israelites and whose land was taken. Their territory extended from the Arnon Gorge to Mount Hermon and included all the land east of the Jordan Valley. King Sihon of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, was defeated. His kingdom included Aroer, the edge on the edge of Arnon Gorge, and extended from the middle of the Arnon Gorge to the Jabbok River, which serves as the border for the Ammonites. This territory included the southern half of the territory of Gilead. Sihon also controlled the Jordan Valley and regions to the east, from as far north as the Sea of Galilee to as far south as the Dead Sea, including the road to Beth Jeheshmoth, and southward to the slopes of Pisgah. King Og of Bashan, the last of the Rephaites, lived at Ashtaroth and Edrei. He ruled a territory stretching from Mount Hermon to Saleka in the north and to all of Bashan in the east and westward to the borders of the kingdoms of Geshur and Maacah. This territory included the northern half of Gilead as far as the boundary of King Sihon of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the Israelites had destroyed the people of King Sihon and King Og, and Moses gave their land as a possession to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh.
Kings defeated west of the Jordan. The following is a list of the kings that Joshua and the Israelite armies defeated on the west side of the Jordan, from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon to Mount Halak, which leads up to Seir. Joshua gave this land to the tribes of Israel as their possession, including the hill country, the western foothills, the Jordan Valley, the mountain slopes, the Judean wilderness, and the Negev. The people who lived in this region were the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. These are the kings Israel defeated: the king of Jericho, the king of Ai near Bethel, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, the king of Gezer, the king of Deber, the king of Geder, the king of Hormah, the king of Arad, the king of Libna, the king of Adullam, the king of Makeda, the king of Bethel, the king of Tapua, the king of Hefer, the king of Aphek, the king of Lasharon, the king of Madon, the king of Hazor, the king of Shimron Miron, the king of Akshath, the king of Tanakh, the king of Megiddo, the king of Kadesh, the king of Jokneam in Carmel, the king of Dor in the town of Naphoth Dor, the king of Goyim in Gilgal, and the king of Tirzah. In all, 31 kings were defeated.
Joshua chapter 13, the land yet to be conquered. When Joshua was an old man, the Lord said to him, "You are growing old, and much land remains to be conquered. This is the territory that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and the Geshurites, and the larger territory of the Canaanites, extending from the stream of Shihor on the border of Egypt northward to the boundary of Ekron. It includes the territory of the five Philistine rulers of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The land of the Evites in the south also remains to be conquered. In the north, the following area has not yet been conquered: all the land of the Canaanites, including Mira, which belongs to the Sidonians, stretching northward to Aphek on the border of the Amorites, the land of the Jebulites, and all the Lebanon mountain area to the east, from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon and Lebo Hamath, and all the hill country from Lebanon to Mizrephoth Maim, including all the land of the Sidonians. I myself will drive all this territory as Israel's possessions when you divide this land among the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh."
The land divided east of the Jordan. Half the tribe of Manasseh and the tribes of Reuben and Gad had already received their grants of land on the east side of the Jordan, for Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously assigned this land to them. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Medeba, as far as Dibon. It also included all the towns of King Sihon of the Amorites, who had reigned in Heshbon, and extended as far as the borders of Ammon. It included Gilead, the territory of the kingdoms of Geshur and Maacah, all of Mount Hermon, all of Bashan as far as Saleka, and all the territory of King Og of Bashan, who had reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei. King Og was the last of the Rephaites, for Moses had attacked them and driven them out. But the Israelites failed to drive out the people of Geshur and Maacah, so they continue to live among the Israelites to this day.
An allotment for the tribe of Levi. Moses did not assign any allotment of the land of the tribe of Levi. Instead, the Lord had promised them their allotment came from the offerings burned on the altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. The land given to the tribe of Reuben. Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of the tribe of Reuben. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, the plain beyond Medeba. It included Heshbon and the other towns on the plain, Dibon, Bamoth, Baal, Beth Baal Meon, Jahaz, Kedemoth, Mephath, Kiriathaim, Sibma, Zareth Shahar on the hill above the valley, Beth Peor on the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jeheshmoth. The land of Reuben also included all the towns of the plain and the entire kingdom of Sihon. Sihon was the Amorite king who had reigned in Heshbon and was killed by Moses along with the leaders of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, princes living in the region who were allied with Sihon. The Israelites had also killed Balaam, son of Beor, who used magic to tell the future. The Jordan River marked the western boundary for the tribe of Reuben. The towns and their surrounding villages in this area were given as a homeland to the clans of the tribe of Reuben.
The land given to the tribe of Gad. Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of the tribe of Gad. Their territory included Jazer, all the towns of Gilead, and half of the land of Ammon, as far as the town of Aroer, just west of Rabbah. It extended from Heshbon to Ramath Mizpah and Betonim, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Lo Debar. In the valley were Beth Haram, Beth Nimra, Sukkoth, Zaphon, and the rest of the kingdom of King Sihon of Heshbon. The western boundary ran along the Jordan River, extended as far north as the tip of the Sea of Galilee, and then turned eastward. The towns and their surrounding villages in this area were given as a homeland to the tribes of Gad. Do you want me to keep going?
Yes, please.
The land given to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of the half-tribe of Manasseh. Their territory extended from Mahanaim, including all of Bashan, all the former kingdom of King Og, the 60 towns of Jair and Bashan. It also included half of Gilead and King Og's royal cities of Ashtaroth and Edrei. All this was given to the clans of the descendants of Machir, who was Manasseh's son. These are the allotments Moses made while he was on the plains of Moab across the Jordan River east of Jericho. But Moses gave no allotment of land to the tribe of Levi, for the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised that he himself would be their allotment. Okay, and off we go.
Sorry, lost my place there.
That's okay. Things happen. We got 1 Peter chapter 4. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Living for God. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead, although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen.
Suffering for being a Christian. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have a wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what's right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you.
And that is our reading today.
I preached on this in the third week of Harvest Church. This 1 Peter passage, yeah.
It's a good one.
1 Peter 7 through all the way to the end, 19. Yeah. Hey, anyway, so we read that. A couple questions in mind. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? And so, Allison, the question is to you, my friend.
Others.
Okay.
I love, gosh, I have always loved that part. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. What a powerful statement. That definitely is how I can love others more. Love covers a multitude of sins. I think about that in context. I think how if you're focusing on loving somebody more than anything else, it does cover a multitude. You know, you don't pick away at the little thing, nitpick the little things that they do, and then harp on that, and then focus on that, and then, you know, oh, you did this, so I'm going to do that, or you didn't do this for me, so I'm not going to do this for you. You know, it's a simple statement that means so much. I love it. I think it's such a beautiful verse.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, listen, Joshua had a lot of good stuff today, but I'm also going to stay in 1 Peter as I answer how this helps me love God more. And also it ties in because like he says, like, don't be afraid of them. There's this vast horde.
Yeah.
Right. And God's like, don't be afraid of them. And so it's the same way, like, just trust your lives to God who created you. That's what Peter says, and that's what's happening in Joshua. So just thematically, they are tied together.
Yeah.
But I love this, and I love unpacking this. And it's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. I love that line because the word Christian was a slur. It was an insult. Little Christ is what they're calling you, little Christ. And so even in the book of Acts, it makes a note that it was here that believers were first called Christians, right? Because it's a slur. And so when he says, like, hey, it's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. In other words, when they insult you by calling you a Christian, a little Christ, it's no shame. And he even says, praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. Mm. And I love that, that it's like, oh, yeah, you can call me a Christian if you want. I mean, so much so that that's how we identify ourselves today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't think of that word in the context that it was used because we've adopted it and made it our own because... Yeah, that's awesome. I will gladly
be identified. You can
definitely call me a Christian. Yeah. That sounds awesome. And so I just love that. And I just love that. It helps me love God more that, one, I can trust him. Joshua could trust him. We can trust him. But I just love that even if it's an insult, it's an honor to carry his name. And I just think that that is cool. That is a very high view of God, which is so incredibly important. It's important for us to have a high view of God, and that's exactly what that is. So I love that. It is remarkable, and you know, it really reminds me of how important that really is. So I can love God better when I accept the insults of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. This was a very long episode.
Was
so we're going to be done now. Yeah. Oh, you have no idea. Look how long this is.
Where does it say?
I know. A lot of reading. Okay. So we're going to go. Proud of you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry about the long episode, but sometimes it happens. Break it up into 2 days if you needed to. I say at the very end of the episode.
Yeah, do that.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.